Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome to Hump Day. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. So much to talk about today.
So little time.
Nikki Haley loses to none of the above. Buck is, rhinos himself. Lakewood's admitting illegal immigrants, no matter what Kyle Clark tries to tell you. But wanted to start off with former law enforcement expert Mark Poff. A ton of news coming out today regarding law enforcement. And Mark, we're going to have
lack thereof.
We're going to have a whole new section or segment because you had so many great ideas. But first off, let me say, hey, welcome to the show.
There you go.
All right. Well, I hope everything is going well.
It is going well.
How are things at Top Golf?
Actually, I've only been to Top Golf once in the last month.
Oh, no.
I can't believe they put a Top Golf on Monument Hill. Ooh. Probably not a good thing for the winter time, but I used up in the summertime. Go there all the time.
So we want to talk to you about, and we'll get to this in a second, some of the developments or lack thereof, I guess, regarding this brouhaha at the CBI screwing up hundreds and hundreds of DNA,
thousands
of cases, putting all kinds of criminal convictions in jeopardy in Colorado.
But they won't tell you what with Missy.
They won't. But I have the scoop.
All right.
So we'll get to that in a second.
I will tell you stuff that you will only hear here, because I talked to my sources.
Okay.
Sources within the organization.
All right.
Let's just jump right to that then.
Yeah. Why wait?
So to bring folks up to speed, there was the legislature, and this is bad if the CBI has already had to go to the legislature to ask for like $7.5 million to try to unscrew up cases that a now retired
29-year veteran
screwed up in terms of DNA. And I'll just ask you, what are your sources telling you about this, and what
Let
does
me
it
guess.
Mean?
She actually didn't do the full test and just said, oh yeah, they match.
Well, here's, I want to make sure I don't forget some things, because I will tell you this at the beginning and then we'll get into specifics. She's not alone.
And, oh, they said she was. It's not a.
And I just read the article where they said officials, this is how they always are very careful on their words that they choose. Officials believe the issues are isolated to Woods' work and not a wider systemic problem with all CBI DNA testing. Well, that's true. If you actually do the DNA testing correctly, there is no systemic issues. But my understanding is she was cutting corners, and I want to give some examples on how I think. Now, I don't know exactly what corner she was getting. I don't know what a DNA analyst does. You know, let's say they get blood trace evidence. Then they have a series of steps that they have to go through, and then they sign off on something saying, look, I did all these steps. Here's my results. And my understanding is she was skipping some of the stuff to save time. So I want to give an example of something that I was familiar with when I worked in law enforcement, which is a breathalyzer. Obviously, if you're a cop and you work the street, you have to, you know, take people in for a breathalyzer. And there is a series of steps that you're taught. You're certified. You have to certify every 6 months to make sure that you understand how it works and everything, that you're not forgetting or whatever. Back when I did a DUI car, I did it every week. So I knew how the breathalyzer, you know, I was fresh. So one of the examples, you know, and they always talk about how the breathalyzer is, they use a special word that you can't fudge the numbers. There's nothing the examiner can do to change the results. Well, that's not completely true. here's the deal, and I'll give everybody a scoop if you ever get pulled over for a DUI. First, I'll tell you to pick blood over breath, because they don't get the results right away. So you have 30 days to get all your things in order
together,
before they pull your license. Right. But let's say that you're coming to kind of the tail end of your drinking event. So the cops pulled you over towards the end, and you know you're coming back down from the alcohol. You're not going up. You didn't have like three mixed drinks and get in the car. You had three mixed drinks. An hour later, you get in the car. They have to have it within 2 hours. So what you do when they take you to the breathalyzer is when you start, they say, look, we have to start this 20-minute observation period. Well, if you burp during that observation period, they have to restart the clock. But they tell you if you burp the second time, it's a refusal. So if you think you're coming down off the alcohol, wait 19 minutes and then burp. Or if the guy says, okay, the 20 minutes is up, sorry. So now they're supposed
this to. This is good information.
This is helpful.
Good information to know. So I'm trying to relate this to the DNA testing. So maybe there's some part of the testing that you're supposed to put the blood in a centrifuge for, 3 minutes, five, whatever. There's some process that takes X amount of time. If she's cutting those corners, like on a breathalyzer, if I just say, you know what, the hell with the 20 minutes, let's just go.
Right.
Well, they tell you that if you do, that individual is going to blow over 0.08. Because what happens is the breathalyzer gets stuff out of your deep lungs. That's why they make you blow so hard into a breathalyzer. But if it's all up in your mouth because you just burped
from,
up, you're bringing all that alcohol up into your mouth. Well, when you blow, you're going to blow right off the limit.
Even though you might not be there.
Exactly. So that could change the results. So it sounds like from what I'm reading and what I've been told is that not all the results are going to be wrong.
Okay.
It's just that skipping, not following the procedures like she was supposed to, it could change some outcomes. And they've already found some that it has.
Oh.
So there is, this going on. And I can tell you, okay, this is my opinion.
Okay.
So and hold this against me.
Our listeners, are you kidding?
Yeah, this is not over. There's going to be more to this. Now, see, I read it also in this article that they asked for $3 million for additional testing and $4.4 million for salaries. That's because they're doing a full-blown investigation.
Oh.
Because CBI is not one location. There are remote sites. There's people doing it at other locations. They have to go out and say, look, is she the only one that didn't follow procedures correctly?
No.
God forbid. And what they're going to argue, this is going to be their excuse, because supposedly they're doing a criminal investigation against Missy, is they're going to argue, look, you asked so much from me, and I'm trying to keep up with this.
You're the director.
So she's going to say that it's your fault.
If I were her, I would start transitioning now. I would become transgender, because that I think helps in any kind of situation like this. Exactly. So to clarify, because when you say skip steps, like you said, it matters. Like if she's skipping the step, say of testing altogether and just going right to the results, that's a big step. But you're saying it seems like there are certain procedures where things like timing or whatever can make a difference. And it appears that that's where the area was. But I was thinking earlier. I'm like, the CBI, this is humiliating and horrible to have to admit.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I was saying, by the time they go to the legislature and say, we need more money, I was thinking to myself, they have already found cases that this has screwed
right,
up.
Right, right. It's already hosed up. They're asking for all this money, and it's not just for Missy.
Right.
I mean, they've got to clean their whole house. This kind of happened at some other, because not everyone uses CBI. CBI is kind of a pain in the ass. Down in Colorado Springs, we had a Metro Crime Lab. We did our own testing. We don't need CBI. Now, we did it for DNA and stuff like that, because it's very specific. But I think around the time I was retiring, we were actually thinking about doing DNA at our Metro Crime Lab, because there's more control.
Right. But Denver does its own DNA, I believe, right?
But here's the key. If you're a supervisor of a crime lab, usually you're like a lieutenant or maybe even a commander at the office. You're not a DNA person. You're an administrator.
Right.
So if they sat there and said, hey, let me show you what I've done, it's like, hey, it looks good to me. You got a checklist with a whole bunch of checks. Must be good. You checked everything. So I think this is going to blow up. This is just the beginning. Like you said, I mean, why do they need millions of dollars to just go after Missy? I mean, I just don't see it. And they're going to want to go after her criminally to say, look, it's her fault. She broke the law. She did this X, Y, and Z or whatever. I can even tell you the end game. She's going to plead guilty to official misconduct, a misdemeanor. And she's going to say, give me my retirement.
Double my retirement.
I mean, talk about two, because what's interesting about this.
All right, we have a question from, it's more of a statement we have to go by from Leo, whether this is true. He indicates that you should carry around Everclear and gargle with that as a cop's approach.
Everclear, if you want to blow over whatever, yeah.
Everclear?
Everclear is like the highest alcohol.
That's what you should drink in college.
So, I used to love that. When I was in college, I went out with this young lady, and she said she wanted to go to a store, a package store, and she wanted Everclear. And I was like, that's my kind of girl.
And here you are.
Here you are, divorced and single.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that relationship did not work out.
So here's
a few trips to Betty Ford, and you called it a game.
Here's the thing on this, too, though. This is the millions of dollars that they have to do to redo the testing and investigate. But if I'm a defense attorney and talk about this, as you and I talked about this before, if it's a DNA case, number one, it's probably a pretty serious case.
Yeah.
But number two,
jaywalking, they usually don't take DNA.
Let's draw blood.
The question then, or at least if you're a defense attorney, thousands of criminal cases that could be overturned. Who knows? I mean,
matter. I mean, for the lawyers, it's just another cash cow that's coming down, because most of these people, let's say they've been convicted of a homicide or what. I mean, this has got to be a serious case.
Right.
They're in prison. So they don't have money anymore, even if they did back then. And very few people, you know, I've been doing this for almost 10 years since I retired. Rich people don't kill people. They do, but not.
They get away with it.
But they get away with it. Yeah.
So you're typically talking about lower income people that, you know, so who's paying for their defenses? So you've got an old attorney. We are, through taxpayer, and you're actually paying for me as an expert for the defense as well, ultimately. But so these defense attorneys, if they really knew, like the first thing I'd have done if I was an attorney up in Denver that had a whole bunch of these type of cases, I'd go in to my paralegal on day one as soon as I heard this. And I would say, go back and research every case we had that involved DNA.
Yeah.
And give me a list. And then go back and then start filing every, out. I want to know, did Missy do it? And here's the thing. Even if it's not Miss Woods, you could say, well, CBI has an issue. We need to test it all.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I don't know if we should call Saul. But... but I mean, this instance is going to get blown up. And I've told you my little part. I don't do DNA. John St. Augustine, my partner, is way into DNA. And I'm sure he'll get called into some of these cases. And he has an expert that he works with for DNA and stuff. And I will tell you, there's some tricks to DNA. We'll talk about that another day sometime, maybe when John's on. DNA, they law enforcement has ways of kind of tricking that up. And we'll explain that at another time. It's not as legit. I can't say legit. DNA is very legit until you get humans involved.
And right.
It's like anything else, good intentions, you know. But I have this little part. I'm an expert in cellular technology. And right now I'm supposed to go down to Tucson to testify at the end of the month or 1st of March, basically because the government is using a software package that's just wrong. It's not based in science. And some of the
does that matter? Yeah. Neither were hair samples for a while. I mean, what the hell does that matter?
I'm fighting so much for this, and it's like I feel like John the Baptist who did not have a good ending.
No, mine is your head.
Yeah. I won it up in Fort Collins on a case, Colorado v. Jones, and the judge called it junk science and threw it out.
Yay.
Other judges, I will tell you, don't spend the it's like asking someone, do you understand how diesel engines work? Well, no, I don't have a clue.
Yeah. Right.
But if the prosecutor tells me it's good, we're letting it in. And so we're going to be fighting down there on something that they're trying to show, because they've got no other evidence, very little evidence in this homicide. But they basically said, look, we think that this cell tower could have gone this far. And they draw this big image showing what they call coverage area. And it's like, you can't do that. You have no clue back in 2012 or whenever this was, you have no idea, you know, the coverage of this tower. Right. And they're doing it everywhere and here in Colorado. But I will tell you, since we got this case up in Fort Collins, multiple agencies are starting to back away from using the, and I actually read in a transcript where an expert from a DA's office said it's junk science. So even some people on the prosecution side are starting to realize that this software called Trax, I'll call it by name, my opinion, is not based in science. So
what do they care?
Well, I mean, but that
government?
Goes to, as long as they get a kid. But those are kind of what we were talking.
I've never seen a DA go, this is not trustworthy. If it helps them, they use it.
But what happens if 5 years from now, finally, the Colorado Supreme Court says it's junk science? And then everybody's going to jump out just like this DNA. And they're going to say, well, hey, was my case resolved because they used Trax?
Okay, maybe. I can see that.
That's millions of dollars. It'll help me. I'll get to come in and testify. Yeah, it's junk science.
You'll be doing the show from your private jet next time, you know. Well, let me switch over because there's so much to talk about there.
Well, one of these other things, when we have your partner come on to explain the DNA, maybe at the same time, explain how cops cheat on field tests for are you sober or not. Because I've become an expert on that, how they cheat.
Are you talking about the actual SSFTs?
SSFTs. No, I'm talking about
standardized roadside.
Yes, SSFTs.
There's three. I probably said the initials wrong. It's been a while. I used to do that, but not cheat.
Oh, bullshit.
but here's the problem. It is subjective. All of it is subjective.
Yeah.
Well, but they also cheat. Forget the subjective part. They cheat. You know, one of the good ones is they say, okay, stand on one leg.
For the next two hours.
And you look at them and they kind of look away. Da, da, da. So you think it's fine, or they kind of shake their head and you put your foot down. Bam.
Well, I never even would have thought of that.
You could have had way more DUI arrests.
But actually, I can tell you ways to get around, not to help you, because the real trick is called alternate distraction or distraction tech. All of those tests. Yeah. Or to get you thinking about one thing, and then, I mean, a person in good shape, I would hate to have to go through roadsides right now, and I know how to cheat to my advantage. Yeah. There's ways on that one-leg stand. I know how to do that, because the cop is supposed to show it to you.
Right.
So when they teach the cops, they teach you how to do it to help you, because what happens if you start to do it and your foot goes down?
Well, I know.
Right. You grab the cops drawn.
Say to me right now, stand on one foot. I haven't had anything to drink yet.
Well, and my wrongful arrest for a DUI, which a jury absolved me in 20 minutes, they gave him the roadside sobriety, and they said, no, he failed. And so we brought an expert in, and they're saying, you know, how many hip operations? I said four, and your knee and everything else. And how much do you weigh? Close to 300 pounds. And how old are you? You know, you're in your late 60s and everything else. And she testified, said, yeah, if he was 19, he says, I've gone over this based on his physical infirmities and everything else. And he's totally sober. And the prosecutor, I want to strike that. You know, they go, oh, shut up, you lose. But it was amazing to watch how they do it.
Let me switch gears.
But we will get your tips on how to cheat on a roadside.
Well, we'll have to do that another day.
Friday.
We'll take a few drinks on Friday, Friday, and everybody can try out their own roadside sobriety test.
I want to switch gears because I wanted to talk to you because there are just so many. I was teasing this saying there are so many things wrong with this. Mark Poff doesn't even know where to start. But this illegal immigrants beating up the cop in New York. Before we get to your opinion on that, I want to play two videos. If people haven't followed this, the video speaks for itself. So let me play that. And so first, Thomas, could we play the NYPD attack?
This is getting butchered.
Just the other day, these are illegal immigrants, I think from Venezuela, attacking some New York police officers.
These are very good young men trying to
make a living in America. Please play the NYPD attack video. And now it's silent. So for people who are listening, so you have two cops trying to wrestle a guy down, and then there's a group of
five, six guys
kicking the cops, trying to interfere with the cops. Then they come up, and now they're hitting the cops, trying to pull their friend away. Now the cops are on the ground, and they're kicking the cops. They've got the cops stopped on, they're pinned down.
Oh, that was a good kick.
I mean, these are
Street justice, El Salvador style.
Yeah, but before you get to comment, before they what happens is they get, some of them get arrested, and then what they do is they immediately in New York City release them with no bail. Oh, no. And this was their reaction, and this is what they're saying to Americans as they're walking out of the jail with no bail after attacking a police officer. If you could please play the released video.
Just into Fox News now, NYPD making two more arrests, illegal immigrants.
They're flipping people off.
Officers. Those suspects also allegedly stole an officer's cell phone. Well, that'll help them track you down. So a fifth illegal immigrant accused of attacking two New York City police officers over the weekend showed no remorse.
They're just laughing and smirking and flipping people off.
Seen, as you can see, giving his two middle fingers to the cameras moments after being released without.
Look at that laughing.
And here's why they're laughing, because then after that, they fled. They just left. They just left. So, Mark, go, take it away.
This whole thing from beginning to end is wrong. This is what is wrong in our nation. This is all caused by the defund police movement from BLM back when they were rioting and nothing happened to them. Nothing. January 6th, you had a bunch of people who made a mistake and trespassed into the Capitol. And they came after them like a fury, created a little bit of damage in the Capitol versus BLM that created billions of damage, and nothing happened. So this is the whole system from beginning to end. So let me start at the right, the beginning. So amazingly, you have two New York cops walking the beat. Okay. One's a lieutenant. I don't know what's up with that. So in New York, you don't have any cop walking alone. Well, that should tell you something right there. I went on patrol. I was alone all the time.
Yeah.
New York, I don't think, in fact, I think they recently announced they're all two partners. I mean, there's always two in every car, two everywhere. Why is that? Because crime is through the roof. But think about, you had individuals, and I found this when I worked in the jail, which is really tricky situation, is when you went into a ward for one person, one guy in a ward, you'd go in there and say, Mr. Jones, I need you to step out of the ward. Well, they know something bad happened. But you'll see the rest of the, you know, or if you walk up, Mr. Jones, you and I, all the other inmates will back away. They're like, hey, let's watch the show. You know, it'll be one-on-one. I never in the jail fought more than one-on-one, other than when the other cops got there, then it was more than one-on-one. But I never had another male inmate come after me. In the female wards, it's quite the opposite. The women will just gang up on you. So you got to watch it in a woman's ward. A whole different scenario.
How about a tranny? How about a tranny?
Yeah, well, who knows what's going to, half of them will attack you. But
yeah.
So why did they feel so embraced? They're there illegally. Now, here's the beginning of the root of the evil, is that New York City will not work with ICE. If they knew that they touched that cop, and they got arrested and they went downtown, it was not going to be a cashless bail. They're going back to Mexico, or they're going back to Venezuela or El Salvador, and they're screwed. So they would never, they'd say, oh, that guy's going back to wherever. And they all would have fled. They all would have ran from the cops because they didn't want, when the buddies showed up, that maybe they would get caught up in this and they'd end up back in El Salvador or whatever. So they would have run.
Right.
But they felt brazen enough to go in there and kick ass and take names with those cops, first issue. So then I have issues with the cops, which again is the system.
Right.
Cops have guns, a lot of ammo. They have nightsticks. They have pepper spray. They have tasers. Did you see either one of them ever reach for even a nightstick? Why is that? Why did they feel that, you know what, we better just take this ass beating?
Yeah.
Because we want to stay employed.
Right.
If I pull a nightstick out, I'm done. I'm going to have Joe Biden on the nightly news saying, well, you're whipping migrants. You're whipping migrants with your I don't know any of the facts, but for God's sakes, we need to do something. And this whole narrative would have been all about two cops beating the crap out of 30 people.
And they would have been criminally charged and indicted, and they would be in jail.
And they wouldn't have gotten cashless bail.
And they would definitely not have gotten cashless bail. In the old days, those cops would have pulled their guns out, and they would have everybody would have took off.
Right.
That wouldn't work today. If you pull a gun out now, if a cop, getting attacked by 10, 15 people decides, you know what, I'm at risk here, I'm going to pull my gun out to defend myself, they would have kept going. Because if you shot one of them, payday. If I have to get killed, my family will make millions. So right now, because of how this played out, was so embarrassing to New York. Now you have them all backtracking. You have Hochul or whatever the governor is. She's like, oh, no one should ever touch a cop. I got news for you, you dumbass. The reason they're touching cops is because of your laws and what you're doing. You are the cop. It's not, I mean, I don't want to say they're not to blame. They are. But why did they feel so embraced to do this? Because all these liberal politicians, from the New York mayor and to the DA's office, getting them out with cashless bail. One of the major concerns why you don't let people out on cashless bails, if they don't have an establishment in the community. There's no one who has loss of an established to the community than someone who's illegally in this country. They should be immediately, if you're not going to prosecute, give them to ICE and give them a free ride back to wherever and get them the hell out of this country. But they know they can do that. That's why they're flipping people off and they're laughing. They get on the... Why is it that New York City has a free bus to LA? So all of the liberal politicians are turning against each other, but nobody's talking about it. They have money. So they get, that's an expensive bus ride across the whole US. There's probably some free illegal migrant bus system going on right now where they can just say, you know what, we'll go to LA.
Right. Where we get free health care.
Well, we had somebody on was talking about how the LA cops have a whole Greyhound thing. And somebody says, hey, this guy was living in LA on the streets. And he said, I want to go see ski country. So go see that cop. And they go, what do you mean go see it? Go see the cop. I said, well, I want to go back to Colorado. You wrote out this chip. There he goes, right to Colorado.
And see, that's the whole system. We are so failing
this
system. And people are going to get hurt. And I said this, I think, a year ago, that because of these policies, cops are going to get hurt. So here you had two cops that were willing to take their ass beating because they knew that's what they had to do to stay employed. In the old days, that wouldn't have happened. That's a perfect scenario for pepper spray. Perfect. I wonder if they even had pepper spray. And it's funny because...
use it if they bring it out. Then they're going to end up charged, right? Because like you said, they're pepper spraying the illegal immigrant.
You're a racist.
Right. Here's the thing.
Well, you're referring to the fact that in a quip that, whipping the ones, but these guys riding a horse, and because the angle of it where they were using the reins to control the horse, it looked like they might be hitting people. And then you look at the other angle, you see not. It didn't matter. They weren't whipping people. They still got disciplined.
Well, and here's the thing. Number one, why would anyone in their right mind really want to be a cop right now? Which is going to be bad. Which is why I think that fuels into why we have mistakes being made like at the CBP. At a certain point, things have to start giving.
I don't care.
And secondly, if I'm a cop, I just have so much paperwork to fill out at the state. Why would you even get out of your car? Why would you even walk out
of
the door?
There's no incentive at all to take a proactive. I used to say this years ago, even before all this, for every maneuver you do as a cop, for the one thing that can go right, there's 99 that can go wrong.
Yeah.
You do not have the right to risk other people to go after someone. As an example, you see a speeder, so you try to flip around. I'll never forget one time I was trying to get someplace really quick, and I decided for this short period of time, I'm going to go down the street the wrong side. It did not go well. I got out of it okay. And as soon as I got out of it, and I was like, I will never do that again. I saw that on TV somewhere. So I thought I'd give it a try one time. But there's no incentive for law enforcement to do the right thing. And there is a time for a cop to pull their gun and pull the trigger. And right now you have cops that are hesitating and they're taking an ass beating when they don't have to. I mean, why do you give them all less than lethal items if they won't even pull them out because they know their careers will be impacted? Just right. Take the ass beating and then we'll just, you know, hopefully we'll survive and my family will still make money. And then, but they're all backpedaling now. It makes them all look like fools and idiots right now.
Right. But still. Hey, listen.
Not to New Yorkers, they don't. I mean, you know, to the Fox News watchers, perhaps, but New York are going, okay, well.
Well, some are. Hey, listen, Mark, we have
to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to have you back to explain all the DA and on a party Friday to explain how to get
out. Yeah, the whole thing. And then we take a sobriety test with you.
Thank you so much. We'll have you fill in really soon here, okay? Thank you for your time.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now we have, and I don't know, I've seen some people joining. I see her.
There she is. We see her. We've got her.
Lauren Bowman. So as everyone knows, tomorrow, big arguments in the Trump, this stupid rhino Republicans in Colorado filed to keep Trump off the ballot. Tomorrow is the Supreme Court hearing on that. The Colorado GOP has lawyers, Trump people have lawyers, Jenna Griswold has lawyers, but one of the organizations also that has filed an amicus brief in support of keeping Trump on the ballot is the Public Interest Legal Foundation, and we have the Director of Communications, Lauren Bowman. So Lauren, hey, thank you for your time. Appreciate your time here today.
Thanks for having me on to talk about such an important issue.
Yeah, do you get to go to the hearing?
Normally I would, but unfortunately I'm going to be traveling for work, so I won't be in D.C. tomorrow.
Well, we know people who are part of it, and getting a ticket is very hard. I mean,
Super Bowl suite.
Yeah, it's you know, you got to, sometimes you have to pay somebody to wait in line all day for you. And they're going, wait a minute, I'm a plaintiff here. Nope. You don't get to come in unless you know somebody. And luckily he knew.
You're talking about Dave Williams.
Yeah. Luckily he knew Harmy Dillon and said, I got a couple of.
Well, luckily they put it online after. So people who aren't in DC or couldn't get in can still listen and hear the argument for themselves.
Not the same.
But at least you're still able to hear it and kind of make your own conclusions from how you think it's going to go. Because as we know, the court doesn't just instantly decide these on the day they hear the arguments.
No, and while you do that, I'll get to having you kind of fill in what you guys are going to do. But just since you mentioned that, it starts, I think, at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Colorado time, Denver time, going to be 80 minutes. And it is live stream. So if you just search up, as Rev says, well, you know,
live
how to
radio
listen.
Stream, like, yeah, how to listen, you can listen to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you'll be able to listen to it. So you guys had, I mean, everybody's got their own little bit, but how much time do you all have? And explain,
Zippo.
Well,
Zippo.
But explain your amicus brief and how that all plays
amicus.
In.
Zippo.
Yes. So we filed an amicus brief, which is a friend of the court. And so what our brief argues is that the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which is what Colorado is using to remove President Trump from the ballot, it's actually been repealed. It's the only part of the Constitution that when it was passed in Section 3, it says, and Congress can repeal this at any time. Well, breaking news, they repealed it in 1898 because they needed some former Confederate officers to be in the military to help fight the Spanish-American War. Yeah. And so we argue that in there. That's one of our main points. But we go on and say, look, even if you don't agree with us or you don't buy this 14th Amendment, Section 3 was repealed. Guess what? It still doesn't apply to President Trump because he's never been convicted of insurrection. In fact, he's been acquitted of it by the United States Senate. And only the U.S. Constitution can set qualifications for being president. States cannot add additional qualifications. So that's what our brief argues before the United States Supreme Court.
Do you know Eric Mitchell?
I do not.
Okay.
Well, he ain't going to be arguing that.
He's not the Colorado Republican
he
Party.
Is, no,
okay.
He is Trump's lawyer.
Okay,
and he wants to argue that there wasn't an insurrection, which is the toughest, hardest, worst one to argue about because you know yours. You just go look; it's repealed, or you say only Congress can enforce this, or many others. But to spend your time arguing there was not an insurrection. Which may
be true, but that puts it.
So it's interesting. And as you know, since you've gone to Supreme Court hearings and so forth, you know, you only get 5 minutes if you're lucky before they start peppering you with questions and hounding down on you. But he wants to argue the insurrection one, which Boy, that's got to be a dumb move. But anyway.
We won't make you comment on that. Let me ask you this, because I know you guys get involved in all kinds of things. It's likely now that the Supreme Court, well, I know it's going to go to the Supreme Court in terms of the whole presidential immunity. Are you guys weighing, I mean, everything is going up to the Supreme Court on this. Are you guys weighing?
Hey, they don't have to take cert.
But I mean, are you guys weighing in on any of the other issues too, or right now just focusing on this one?
Right now, we've been focusing on this one just because we believe it's the biggest threat to our election system. Because if you can't vote for the candidate of your choice that you want to vote for because your radical courts and radical bureaucrats are taking him off the ballot, we just view that as so dangerous to our foundational republic that we have to be like right on this one and make sure it doesn't happen, because they are not smart enough, I guess, to realize that this is a slippery slope. What's to stop red states from removing Biden from the ballot? And then our election system becomes a total sham decided by courts and bureaucrats and not by the American voters.
Right. Well, that would be great by them. You think they object to that?
Right. That's like kind of where they're moving towards. It's these Soviet style tactics where they just try to make the elections a sham. And we're saying the American voters aren't going to stand for that. And this,
do they get to vote? Do they get to vote these days?
Yeah, no. Well, let's get that. I mean, you know, Lauren, I'm not sure how long you've been involved with the Public Interest Legal Foundation, but you guys do a lot of work. But in your wildest dreams, would you guys have imagined that you would have some people saying, oh, we just can't have Trump on the ballot? We're just going to.
It'll hurt our democracy.
I mean, to me, that's just that we aren't even going to let people
Orwellian.
Right. I think it just shows you how afraid they are that the American people are going to elect Donald Trump again, and how they just have this derangement syndrome when it comes to him, where they just can't allow that. And they'll do whatever it takes. They don't care what it is to get him removed. And it's alarming and it's bad for the country. It's destabilizing. It makes people feel that the system is rigged when they can't vote for the candidate that they want to.
Right.
So they've got to stop this. We've got to put a stop to it. And I'm so glad that the Supreme Court is going to weigh in and, I believe, protect this foundational basic principle in America.
And let me ask you about that. Again, we're all reading the tea leaves here, but you know, it seems to me that the Supreme Court, if they weren't going to do something, they would have just not taken it. They would have let Jenna Griswold.
No.
Okay, Chuck's a lawyer, but
it takes four people.
Well, yes,
to grant cert, that's not a majority. As we know, Roberts and
but it's unlikely to be a 9-0, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, it could be a 9-0. I mean, they will work hard. This is one of the few cases, kind of like Brown versus Board of Education. Well, they'll go back to their thing and say, you know, for the country, it's much better than we split on this, that we agree on one case. We, you know, and they're not going to agree there wasn't an insurrection. They could agree that 1898 repealed it and so forth, which is why it's a much better thing to argue. Those ones, it could be consensus among the nine. It is not good if they have a split decision. It's not going to be good if they have it, you know, 5-4, 6-3, and their own credibility is hurt by it. But whether they can still, you know, they used to talk a lot. Now, these days, you know, everybody has 25 clerks and they all go back to their swing, their clerk wing, and just sit there. This is one which really hope they could come to a 9-0 based on whatever it is.
Whatever they want to decide.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I mean, we saw what happened with the decision Dobbs that overturned Roe v. Wade, how clerks were leaking it to the press. Unfortunately, right. We have seen some of that institution start to erode, but I believe we were talking here at the Public Interest Legal Foundation. What do we think this decision is going to be? Is it going to be 9-0? Or, you know, it's hard to predict, but we think it's going to be at least 7-2, that we're going to be able to get at least seven judges, because this is such a basic American tradition. And the court recognizes the slippery slope that this is going down, and they don't want to be involved in answering a political question like who should be the president. They acknowledge that those political questions have to be decided by the American people, not courts.
What do you guys think, or do you have any sense of, in terms of, I mean, because there's some deadlines in terms of ballots going out and things like that. Any sense on how long, you know, if it's already been fast-tracked, how long it'll be for a decision?
Yeah, this is just a guess. Obviously, the court doesn't have it publicized when they'll release their decision, but we're hoping that it will be either the end of the month or beginning of March is when we're hoping.
Right. I predicted 3 weeks.
Yeah, so
it gives you enough time to circulate it, and God, hope you don't have dissents and stuff. But yeah, 3 weeks, I think, which would be the end of February or the beginning of March. Yeah.
Right. And it takes them a long time to, you know, do all the research and get to those agreements to write these opinions.
Right.
And like we're saying, I think Robert's probably behind the scenes will be trying to get as many judges as he can on this for a big opinion to have this issue settled and a united front. And I think he's going to be able to do it. I really do, just because, I mean, even radical Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson in Michigan, even she said, I can't remove Trump from the ballot. So there are even some radical leftists that have acknowledged, like, as much as I hate him, I can't do this. Unfortunately, right. Colorado is not one of those. But I think there's going to be an agreement here.
Well, I mean, just a couple of final questions. I mean, it is.
Well, how would you like to have the highest court of your state be the Colorado Supreme Court justices? If five of them thought, yeah, we can throw them off, no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you know, so next time you go up to the Colorado Supreme Court and you're arguing a case, you know, what's your feeling that, oh, I'll get a fair hearing here. There's no problem.
Right. You know, some states like Colorado, Pennsylvania is another one. Their state courts are very radical and they make horrible decisions that are just like, don't follow the rule of law. And, you know, they end up going to the Supreme Court getting overruled. You have to wonder at a certain point, like, do these justices have to save face and stop making some of these horrible decisions? Do they get embarrassed to constantly be getting overruled, especially if this is going to come back 9-0? Can you imagine how those five justices are going to be feeling on the Colorado Supreme Court about it?
They'll feel fine because
they'll get their cocktail parties.
Because all the ones that voted to throw Trump off there are Ivy League ones. They went to Yale, they went to the Harvard. The ones that didn't want to throw him off because there are no Republicans on it, or were ones who went to local schools in Colorado, DU or CU. So the Ivy League guys will be great. Oh, hey, we did it. You know, that bigoted court overthrew us, but everybody loves us. Everybody loves us.
That's a great point. So the Foundation's president, Jay Christian Adams, he wrote an op-ed series with Hans von Spakovsky at Heritage that dives into the top 10 law schools in America. And each op-ed exposed a different school. And it's how they don't teach law anymore. What they teach is like social justice. They teach a course on how to make a revolution happen. I mean, that's what these people are learning in these law schools. They're not learning the law, about contracts, about things like that. No, what they're learning is how to create a revolution, how to be a Marxist. There was a class on graffiti at the Chicago University of Law. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And eventually, I think those institutions, I mean, we saw the Harvard president. Right. I mean, they're starting to face some backlash from that. The pendulum swinging back, I think, at them a little bit.
We hope. Well, listen, Lauren, we will let you go. But before I do, because I understand, I mean, you know, you guys, you know, just don't like take money off of trees so much. But how can people find out more about the stuff?
Because how can they contribute?
Yeah, because I think it is so important to have. I mean, this is a great argument you guys have tossed up. And we in Colorado appreciate you stepping up on our behalf to try to fight for us.
Yes, you do.
Thank you. You guys can go to publicinterestlegal.org. We are a nonprofit 501c3 charity. We're totally funded by donations, and even a little bit helps. And thank you guys for having me on to talk about this.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be all talking about good news here in a few weeks. Thank you, Lauren.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Lauren Bowman there. Yeah, it'll be.
She's very nice.
She's very good. People loved her. Lauren, if you're still there, they love you. They say good guest. So again, you can, it starts, I think, and I think the Supreme Court is probably timely, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay, so 8:00, as I understand it, tomorrow morning, Denver time, 80 minutes, so you don't want to be too late. And just if you search up how to listen to the Trump SCOTUS arguments. And I'm not sure if it's a video feed. My guess is it's just audio. I'm not really sure.
No, I am sure. It's just audio.
Just audio. Okay. Well, and here's what makes it worse, and this is kind of fun, but one of the reasons it'd be, I mean, can you imagine if they don't let Trump be on the ballot, we would be stuck with Nikki Haley, who in Las Vegas lost to none of the above, right? But you're the poll person. I mean, by what, 70%?
70-30.
So in Las Vegas, they have a tricky system where they have like a primary that people can vote in, but they don't award any delegates to that. And then they have the caucus where people select.
Well, that wasn't too different in Colorado before. Yeah. They take, you know, straw polls, but it's a little weird in that you can't be in both. If you get either
as a candidate, and she keeps banging.
you can either go one or the other. And so, you know, and the caucuses are going to be for Trump. So Nikki decided to go with the primary.
The primary.
But, you know, she said, well, I didn't put any money into it. Well, okay, but.
But she still lost. I mean, to me, Mike Pence. I mean, Mike Pence was on there, yeah. And somebody else was not, Tim Scott, maybe, who's not running. And then they also had the choice to vote for none of the above. And if you're Nikki Haley's campaign, I mean, you would think that the only people who would bother to vote in that primary would be Nikki Haley supporters wanting to give her a victory so she could claim some sort of moral victory. Instead, she can't even do that. She lost overwhelmingly to none of the above. Now, I'm assuming that some of the Trump people, you know, made a point to vote to kind of do that. But I mean, she can't, even when she's not running against anyone, she loses, right? It's like, do they have them?
Just awful.
I don't know.
We have a couple of good acquaintances at a club we belong to who are big Nikki Haley supporters, though I haven't seen them for a while. When I see them, I go, Nikki Haley!
No. So I don't know. I mean, what she does after South Carolina, there's a part of me that I kind of think as long as they keep giving her money, she won't drop out because she's just going to hope that something happens. Like maybe the Supreme Court keeps Trump off the ballot.
Well, she'll go through Super Tuesday, which will get her some delegates. So there'll be delegates to the convention should it blow up and stuff. So she'll stay through Super Tuesday. And then graciously decide that she will step out.
But she'll become a Democrat.
No.
She and Ken Buck are going to co-anchor the new CNN morning show because they got rid of the old one.
She's going to find a new lover. She ought to
be a board to be on. Speaking of South Carolina, so big news, kind of, sort of, Ronna McDaniel, it was all these rumors are floating around yesterday she is saying, no, it's not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's saying it's not true. There's a caveat there that Ronna McDaniel is going to step down as head of the RNC because everyone hates her and all she does is spend money.
And
it was saying she was going to step down. Well, she is now saying that no decision is going to be made until South Carolina. So everyone just calm down here. Now, Charlie Kirk was tweeting, no, she's still going to step down, but his sources tell him that this started happening faster than the RNC expected, and they're trying to regain control of the situation to see who's going to replace her. Somebody else was tweeting, no, they're trying to spend all the money that's left over
on flowers.
On flowers and things like that.
But consultants.
We're going to spend every last freaking dime of you stupid Republicans before we leave. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see who
the KBB approach.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's what she's calling KBB. Now, how did you give yourself bonuses? Did you guys give all yourself bonuses before we stepped down? Somebody was saying McCarthy. Why would you want to get rid of Ronna McDaniel and put in Kevin McCarthy?
Nobody's bringing Kevin McCarthy in. That's bullshit. There's one guy, I forget who they all think is good, but it's not Kevin McCarthy.
No, it's not. Let's see. So many comments, guys. Haley will just go. This is from Leo. From Jacob. Haley will claim victory, which RNC director did the Colorado delegates vote for. I know only so.
I know Randy. Randy voted for Harmy Dillon.
Harmy Dillon and Vera Ortegon
voted for
Farana.
Rana.
Exactly. This is from Leo. Haley will go back to being on the board of Boeing. She's in charge of bolts on the doors. That's right. She needs a little update on that too. And then Charlene, good point, Julie. If none of the above vote was actually the Trump vote.
Well, Haley's going to bring back that Cadillac she has that she has so much fun with. Obscure reference. How many people out there got it?
That's Haley theoretically had an affair, had an affair with somebody in
the back of her Cadillac.
And that's according to Laura Loomer, who does not like.
You can believe. You can believe Laura.
But I got to think, though, if you're Nikki Haley, that's got to be humiliating. I know they didn't spend a lot of time or money there, but I got to figure she at least was assuming she could win that, and then because why even be in it, right?
And she's embarrassing herself. I mean, she came out in favor of the border bill. Oh yeah, Nikki.
Yeah.
You and Murkowski and Romney and Collins. I mean,
right.
Good
oh, yeah.
job.
That's right.
Good job. I mean, if she wanted to point out herself as a screaming rhino, she couldn't have done more.
That's right. Koch brothers can't pull off a victory with Nikki. I think that's true. Well, yeah, that's why they all like the border bill.
Let's talk a second about the Koch brothers.
About a minute.
Well, that's Anita Heffer.
Okay.
The Koch brothers, and you can
it's
read
a
it.
Brother every, anymore?
Yeah,
right?
The Koch brothers, the only one left. But they always say she has this incredible grassroots organization, and they have no grassroots. They pay people $20 an hour and stuff. Yeah. But like in Colorado, there are no Americans for Prosperity. They ain't paying. I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah, and they went over to Advance Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, there is no such thing as Americans for Prosperity members other than people who are paid. I mean, it's just so funny to watch the left go, oh, that Koch Brothers Network, Koch Brother, is so powerful.
It's just
they're
so
knocking
funny.
On doors. Yeah, they're paid volunteers. Paid volunteer. That's an oxymoron. I'm a paid volunteer.
Yeah, they go, oh, that's a good point. That is going to wrap it up for us today. On Friday, we're going to be talking about the situation going on in Lakewood, where Lakewood residents were upset because it was sounding as if the city of Lakewood was going to actually say to Denver, well, was saying to Denver, hey, we'll take all of your illegal immigrants that you can't handle, the thousands of them. Now, Kyle Clark assures us this was not
thank
true.
God for Kyle Clark. And yeah.
Lakewood,
you can believe him.
Lakewood City Council says, no, that's misinformation. But is it? There's a big meeting standing with some like
and Jimmy Sandberg's actually written a good article on it, which is shocking.
Right. And some 350 people showed up at a meeting yesterday because the meeting on Monday is when the city council will be voting on this. We'll have to see if they care what citizens think or not. I don't know. I'm going to go with no. But anyway, we'll be talking about that as well. And I found you guys this really funny soundbite of the conservative mama interprets Joe Biden's speeches. For all of you who are like, what is he saying?
All right, everybody. We'll look forward to seeing you on Friday. Bye-bye.